The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to talk about there was a few that knew. There was a few that knew. 1 Corinthians. Again, let me say this first of all. Welcome everybody to the broadcast. Again, I'm the founder of End Time Headlines, the pastor of Remnant Revival Ministries, Ricky Scapparo, and we welcome you to the broadcast. If you're new today by chance, watching by YouTube, by Facebook, please let us know below in the comment section on either platform. Let us type in "I'm new" so we can acknowledge that and we can formally welcome you to the broadcast, to the ministry. And we hope that you're blessed today by this word. I believe this is a word that some of you may know, but some of you may not. So if you don't know this, this is going to be really intriguing. It's going to really be eye-opening to an extent, and it's something I enjoy prophetically reading this, and it's something that really jumped out at me, so I want to just kind of share this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is going to be where we'll, that'll be our foundational scripture, and then we're going to hop around over here into Luke chapter 3 and some other places here. Luke 2, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age, he was speaking present tense of the time of the writing of that, of Corinthians there, none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now, we've always interpreted this scripture as Satan did not fully understand the full intent and purpose of why Jesus was going to be crucified. He knew in part, he understood in part, and he acted upon the minimal understanding or knowledge that he had, and he tried to stop it in many cases. He tried to prevent. He knew that Jesus was up to something, but he didn't fully understand the full redemptive plan. And I totally agree with that, because even the Word of God says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, listen to me, guys. Nothing caught the Father, nothing caught God out off guard. It's not like the fall of Adam caught him off guard. It's not like Lucifer falling from heaven caught him off guard. It's not like that he didn't have a plan B already intact. He already had, come on, something planned. He already had a backup plan, if you would, and it was Jesus, come on, the Son of the living God, being sent to spill his own blood, to pour out his own blood, that would redeem all of humanity, that would deliver us from death, hell, and the grave, that would give us a redemptive hope. And the plan, you listen to me, guys, the blood of Jesus was the wisdom that was reserved and preserved and kept a mystery until the fullness of time had come, and then it was revealed. But what I want to show you today is there was a few that knew. Oh, come on, somebody. In other words, there was a few in Jesus' inner circle, even not even in his inner circle, but those who had, like the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times and seasons. They understood the words of the prophet. Come on, and the prophets. They understood the words, come on, of the prophets of the Old Testament that spoke of Jesus Christ. They spoke of the Messiah. They spoke of this Redeemer that would come out of Israel. They spoke of this Messiah that would be born, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would come this way, and that this would happen and that would happen in certain elements. I don't want to spend all of our time going through every single detailed prophetic word that was given about Jesus and the descriptions and how Jesus fulfilled them. Most of you guys already know that, but watch this. I want to go over to the book of Luke. All right, let's go jump over here to the book of Luke chapter 2. Now we're going to read pretty much this whole chapter. I'm going to break some stuff down to you, and I want to show you some stuff that's very intriguing. If you've never seen this before, this is absolutely fascinating. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. A census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. Listen to this, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son. I want to stop here. Before this happened, you remember the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and said that you're going to bear a son. His name shall be Jesus. And she said, how can this be? I've never known a man. And she said, it will be a supernatural. It will be of God himself. You will be basically impregnated by the Holy Spirit. All right? And the Bible says she meditated upon these things in her heart. And she said, Lord, let it be so. In other words, she yielded to the plan of God. Now listen to this. So then Jesus was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Who? The shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel of the Lord said unto them, quote, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. He's telling them something here, God. He's revealing something that is a mystery. For there, listen to this, this angel is relaying this to him. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, there's not much mystery left in this revelation. And this will be the sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. You think? Come on, who wouldn't want to go see this thing if an angel of God showed up supernaturally and appeared to you and told you, listen, guys, Now, listen, this wasn't revealed to Mary. This wasn't revealed to Joseph here in this setting. This wasn't revealed to any of the prophets or prophetesses of that day. It wasn't revealed to the high priest. This was revealed to some shepherds out in the field. Some common folk saying, have you not heard what is written in the words of the prophets, such as Isaiah, and which, like, as in Hosea and Amos and many other, and Zechariah and many other of these prophets that foretold of the birth of Jesus, of the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. So immediately they begin to say, let's go see what this thing is. Now watch this. And they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, just as the angel said. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. Now, stop for a second. You didn't hear it. Let me back up and say it again. When they had seen Jesus, Yeshua, there in the manger, they made it widely known the thing which had been told to them. Now, widely known, Listen, if this context would have said, and they made it known unto Joseph and Mary the thing in which the Lord revealed to them, but it didn't say that. It said they made it widely known. In other words, it's implying here that these shepherds were so excited about what the Lord had revealed to them that they began to spread the word, not just to Joseph and Mary, but outside of that to all those individuals around in that area. In fact, your Bible says that word got all the way back to Herod. And Herod said, oh, let me come and worship the babe. He didn't have any intent to worship the baby. He didn't have any intent to worship Jesus. His intent and his motive was to stop that which was going to ultimately, what he feared, bring down his influence and bring down his empire and bring down his kingdom. So it posed to be a threat to him. So he wanted to come and to destroy, come on, what was going to be, because so the word got out well before, come on, way before the shepherds even got to the baby. Before they got to Jesus, before they got to the manger, before they got to Joseph and Mary, word got around that, hey, something supernatural has happened, and there's angels showing up to shepherds saying that this Yeshua, this Christ, this Messiah, this Savior of the Lord, of the world, has been allegedly born, and he's in a manger. And the word got back to Herod. Now, what, guys, I ain't even scratched the surface yet. Let's go on with this. And the Bible says in verse 19, in verse 18, I'm sorry, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, and then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they've heard and seen as it was told of them. Now, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua. Your Bible says Jesus, but in Hebrew, it's Yeshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now listen to this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Listen to verse 26, my friend. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he laid his eyes upon the Lord's Christ. Now, the word Christ is the anointed one. Golly, guys, are you hearing this? So here's a man by the name of Simeon, a devout man, a just man, who the Holy Spirit one day just shows up to this man and says, listen, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to die prematurely. You're not going to be taken out in an accident. You're not going to be killed. You're not going to be murdered. You're not going to die of some disease. You're not going anywhere, Simeon, until the day that you physically lay your eyes upon the Messiah that was foretold by the prophets of old. So now listen, here's Simeon minding his business, going through the rituals of what he did, doing his everyday thing, going through the motions, and there's a commotion. You got to get this picture, you guys. There's a commotion going on in Israel. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of chatter. Something about some shepherds had a supernatural encounter with angels of the Lord that told them that the Messiah was born. There's chatter about a woman who had never been with a man giving birth to a child. How can this be? There's a lot of chatter going on. So suddenly word gets back to Simeon. Hey, there's a child being brought to you to the temple, and this child's making a ripple in all of Jerusalem and Israel. So your Bible says in verse Luke 2:27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, here he is, he's going to be circumcised. He's going through the process of the law of Moses. Listen to this. He took him in his arms. Simeon takes Jesus, blesses the Lord, and says, listen to what Simeon says, quote, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. My goodness. Listen to this. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, God, listen, he didn't whisper this. He didn't put everybody out of the room and it was just him and Jesus. He was saying this openly before Joseph, before Mary, and who knows who else is there of the family, those of the family of the lineage of Joseph and Mary, and those who are there in the room that were present. He's holding, you got to get this picture, guys. We read over this stuff and we just skim over it and we just, you know, go on with our way, but you got to get a picture of this. He's in this room openly and he's holding up this child and he says, Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace, for today I am looking upon, I gaze my eyes upon Yeshua, upon the Christ, upon the Anointed One, upon the Savior of the world, upon the Messiah that's been foretold by the prophets of old. Listen to this, verse 31. He says, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. My God. Simeon had such a revelation that it was blowing. Listen, he had a greater revelation than a lot of people that when Jesus began to appear to them. Remember, because his original mission was go to the Jewish people, but they rejected him. They were blind. Romans 11, it says the blindness of their hearts caused him to shift and go to the Gentiles. But Simeon understood this child, golly, that was in infancy and not even born yet. Not even, come on, he wasn't even teaching yet. He wasn't even doing a sermon on the mount yet. He wasn't even breaking the fish and the loaves and passing them out. He wasn't even turning the water into wine yet. He wasn't even raising the dead yet. And he was looking at this thing in its infancy stage. He was looking at Yeshua and his infancy stage. And he says, this child will bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Come on, don't tell me an intimate prayer life don't get you revelation from the Lord. That my Bible says that he reveals his secrets unto those who have a covenant with him. The Bible says he reveals nothing lest he first reveal it unto his servants, the prophets. Listen to verse 33. I hope y'all are enjoying this as much as I am. Some of y'all may not get anything out of this, but I'm going to tell you, this stuff excites me. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Are you hearing me? And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, now he's going to begin to prophesy to Mary. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Golly. In other words, he was saying to Mary, listen, I know you don't understand the fullness of the, come on, the redemptive plan of God. I know you don't fully embrace this. I know you don't fully understand the revelation of this, but there's going to come a time in the future you're going to fully understand and know what's happening. Golly, you're going to know. Now, listen, I got to stop here. I'm going to make some folks mad because I got to use this illustration. I know, but the Bible kind of talks about this, but I love you guys remember the movie, The Passion of the Christ, that Mel Gibson directed. You remember, I know everybody here has seen it, so don't act like y'all ain't seen it. But you remember that part when Jesus is going and he's going through, he's walking and he's on his way to Golgotha. He's on his way to the place of the cross on the hill, and he's carrying the cross, and they keep whipping his back and he keeps falling, and he gets back up and they whip him and he falls and he gets back up. And there's that one part where Mary's behind the building and everybody's marching and they're walking and he's carrying the cross, and all of a sudden they whip his back. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. And they whip his back and he falls down, blood all over his face from the crown of thorns and the 39 lashes that he just took on his back. He's covered in blood, he's covered in wounds, and he's laying there on the ground. And all of a sudden Mary sees him. She's out there outside of the one of the homes out there in the alleyway, and she sees him and she runs to Jesus. You got to remember, her son on earth. She runs to him, grabs the towel. You remember this? And she begins to soak his face in the towel, and she begins to weep and she begins to cry. And the movie, in The Passion of the Christ, Jesus looks into her and he says, I believe he said something to the extent of, Mother, you don't understand this now, but I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to tell you, friends, I know the Bible doesn't go into complete detail about this, but I think that Mary, on the way to the cross, she began to get the full revelation. And I'm telling you, just as Simeon prophesied, it began to pierce her heart. She understood, my son, in the flesh and blood aspect, has got to fulfill what his purpose is here on earth. See, we don't get this. We don't catch this. We think that she just popped out Yeshua, the Son of Christ, and he went to the cross. No, she fed him. Come on. She cleaned up his messes. She changed a dirty diaper, if you would. She potty trained him. Some of y'all don't even understand this. Come on, where's my mama's at, my daddy's at, my parents at? That when you raise a child from birth all the way to 33 years of age, guys, you understand, you're there for their ups and their downs and their falls and the good times and the bad times. And my God, I don't know why I'm getting so emotional about this, but I just feel a stirring in my spirit, guys. There was of course, an attachment to him, and she understood now the piercing of her soul. Listen to this. And you got all this going on. And then verse 36, and now there was one Anna who was a prophetess. She was a woman prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Come on, somebody. In other words, she was faithful. She had a faithful marriage. And this woman was a widow of 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant. In other words, here's Simeon holding up Jesus. Come on, he's holding up Jesus and he's proclaiming all this stuff. He's prophesying to Mary. Golly, y'all get this picture? And the prophetess walks in the room. The Bible says in verse 38, coming in that instant, she gives thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Did you hear that? She spoke of him to all those who look. In other words, she ran out. She ran out of the room and she says, guys, look, yeah, come on. She said, guys, listen, y'all thought I was a nut. I know y'all don't want to listen to me because I'm a woman. I know y'all don't want to hear what I got to say because I'm a woman. And you underestimate a prophetess. But I've been telling y'all for years and years and years. I've been telling you for decades. I was telling you this when I was a teenager. I was telling you this when I was a young woman, when I still had my husband. But even after he died, I was still telling y'all that we're going to see the Messiah. We're going to lay eyes on Yeshua. We're going to lay eyes on the Savior. We're going to lay eyes on the coming one. So listen, she had been telling them, he's coming. Get ready. The signs are here. We've been watching. Oh, yeah. There's a remnant that was watching then. You listen to me, friends. I ain't even got to this part yet. But there's a remnant that's watching for him now. Let me say it again. There was a remnant then. There's a remnant now. There was a remnant that had their eyes open then. There's a remnant that has their eyes open now. There was a remnant that was interceding and praying and in the secret place and heard from God then. And there's a remnant today that's praying and seeking and in the intercession and in the secret place and has an ear to heaven today. Come on, there was a group then that understood the times and the seasons and which way they were in, and they understood that the fulfillment of all things was at hand. And there is a group of individuals that are alive today and well that are the same, that know, that understand the times and seasons in which we're in, that understand that the fullness of times is about to end. We understand that the fullness of the Gentiles is about to come to a climax. It's about to come to an end, and the gospel is about to shift back to the Jews that might be fulfilled, that all Israel may be saved. But that's not, I'm not over. This is not it, guys. I'm not at the end of my message yet. Let me go on. So listen. So when Anna, the prophetess, walks in the room, and she sees what's going on, she begins to whoo, she begins to shout. She throws that cane, she throws that walker, and she said, listen, let me just give a little bit of a Holy Ghost jig. Let me shout a little bit. And people, I could see this. People saying, what in the world are you shouting about, lady? What kind of crazy dreams are you having now? What kind of revelation are you having now? And she's saying, listen, friend, you don't know what I just laid my eyes on. Me and Simeon have been talking and we've been discussing what the Lord's been revealing unto us, and we've felt for a long time that we were about to see the fulfillment of all things. And guess what, friend? I just laid my eyes on Yeshua, the Messiah, the one that's been foretold. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said that she came out that instant and spoke to him. She spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption. I said she spoke to those who looked for redemption. Listen, she didn't waste her time on a bunch of Pharisees and naysayers. Come on, somebody that don't believe anything they got to say, that always want to criticize. I feel a preaching spirit on me. Listen, ladies. Where's all my women at that hear from God? The Lord speaks to you in dreams, speaks to you in vision, speaks to you through revelation, gives you, you operate in the prophetic, you operate in the spirit of the Lord, and the Lord shows you things. But every time you try to open your mouth and speak, some Pharisee has to come along and try to throw water on you, try to shut you up and set you down. Listen, quit wasting your time on people who ain't looking for redemption, who are not looking to hear what you have to say. Come on, quit exerting all your energy on people that are going to that are going to trample on your pearls under their feet and come and attack you. Come on, release your word to those who are looking and are hungry and are willing to receive. Now listen to this. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years of age, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. In other words, they're looking for him. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Listen to this, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. This is Jesus, and he was listening and asking questions. My God, I felt the Holy Ghost giving me a layer of a prophetic word for somebody. I don't care how prestigious you think you are, or how many followers you think you have, or what title you think you may carry, or how many people you think you've got in your congregation, or how many years you've been in ministry. Listen, we all need a time where we sit and listen and ask questions. Golly, I don't know who that was for, but you need to receive that today. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" In other words, they were not astonished by what Jesus was teaching. They were more astonished of, "We've been looking for you for 3 days. Where have you been?" Again, here's that motherly instinct, that fatherly instinct. We miss all this, guys, because we skip over this. "Your father and I have sought you anxiously." And listen what Jesus says. And he says to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, he wasn't talking about Joseph's business. He was talking about God the Father. And in verse 50, it says, they did not understand the statement he spoke to them. Hold on here. Now, stop. What, are you kidding me? Come on, Mary and Joseph. What are you doing, man? You had an angel show up to you and said, "Hey, you're going to conceive a child without the help of a man. It's going to be supernatural. You're going to give birth." You had shepherds show up that said they had supernatural encounter with angels of God that told them that this was the Yeshua, this was Christ, this was the anointed one, this was the Messiah. You took him to the temple to be circumcised and go to the law of Moses and the rituals. And there was a prophet and a prophetess there in the presence there. One of them said that the Lord revealed to him that he wasn't going to die until he laid eyes on the Messiah and stood up and said, "This was the Messiah." Then a prophetess comes in and begins to tell everybody this was the Yeshua, this is the Messiah. And then when he says that he's about his father's business, you still don't understand? You still don't understand this? Is this not profound, guys? But watch this. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. My God, I'm getting a message within a message, but I'm just going to keep that for another day. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He increased in stature and favor with God. Now, I want to take you to, let's go over here to the book of John. Let's go to the book of John. I'm going to close with this. John 11. Let's go to the book of John chapter 11. Now watch this. Now I'm telling you guys, people said, "Well, I tell you what, none of the Pharisees, none of the Sadducees, none of the chief priests, the teachers of the law, none of them knew that Jesus was the Messiah." None of them. How many's ever been taught that? I was taught that years ago. But I'm going to prove to you that that was not true and that was wrong. Watch this. John 11. Let's start at verse 45, John 11, 45. "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Then the chief priest," listen to this, "the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered a council and said," quote, "what shall we do? For this man," speaking of Jesus, "works many signs." Quote, "if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take both our place and nation." Now listen, the reason why the reason why predominantly all the Jews in that time frame, in this setting here, especially the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the reason why they were blinded to the fact that he was the Messiah was because their whole desire, their whole intent, their motives, their all this, everything that was significant to them was centered around their seat of authority, their place of recognition and power. So Jesus brought a threat to them that they were going to lose their place of influence, their place of power, their place of position. Y'all get that? Listen to this. This is what he says. If we leave him alone, everyone's going to believe in him, and they're going to take away both our place and nation. They were not looking for a spiritual savior. They were looking for a political leader. You get this. Now watch this. Verse 49. Here we go. And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You don't know anything at all." So he begins to rebuke them. The high priest at that time, Caiaphas, begins to rebuke them. Listen to verse 50. "Nor do you consider that," listen what he says, "that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole, and not that the whole nation should perish." What? Did you hear what Caiaphas said? "Do you not consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish?" Whoa, hold on here. Now listen what he says, verse 51. "Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation." Whoa, what? You don't hear nobody preach this. Nobody preaches this. Golly, I got to say it again. Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesied to the people, "This Jesus, this son of Mary and Joseph, that has all this chatter about him, that we're seeing supernatural things going on, that is bringing scholars to their knees in the temple because of his divine wisdom and his intellect and his understanding, comprehension, and revelation of the word of God." Caiaphas saw this and he got the revelation, "This is the Messiah." "Well, I don't believe that, Brother Ricky." Watch this. Let's read on. "And he prophesied that Yeshua would die for the nation." In other words, he said, "This man right here is going to die for the whole nation." Listen to this, verse 52. "And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." Are you getting this, guys? Listen to verse 53. "And then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death." Golly, guys. See, I don't know if this is messing somebody up like it messes me up, but when I read this, guys, they heeded the words of Caiaphas. And he said, "Yeah, Brother Ricky, but what about all the times when they tore their garments and they said, this man blasphemes?" Listen, guys, it had to happen. It was foretold. It was prophesied. Listen to this. Even in the book of Acts chapter 3, you've heard me preach this, Acts 3. I wasn't going to do this, but watch this. Peter stands up the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God's being poured out. This is after the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is being poured out on the day of Pentecost. Peter stands up and says, repent, therefore, and be converted. This is Acts 3, that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive or restrain. That's, that word in Greek is restrain, until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. In other words, here's another scenario where a man stands up and prophesies under the influence and unction of the Holy Ghost. He's telling these men, listen, heaven is not going to release Yeshua back to the earth until the fulfillment of all things spoken of by the mouth of the prophets. Listen, you want to know? People say, well, how come Jesus hasn't come back yet? Because there's still things that has to be fulfilled. There's still prophecies that still have to be fulfilled, and we're seeing them fulfilled. Guys, we're hitting every prophetic, and that brings me to my last part. Let me close right here. Let me set the Bible aside. Let me close right here. We have reached a prophetic climax. I mean, my goodness, we've hit Israel being reborn as a nation, 40-year climax. Jerusalem being reinstated as the capital of Israel, the 70-year climax. So you have 40-year climax, 70-year climax. We're hitting all these climaxes. There is no other prophetic climaxes for another 30 years out. Now, I'm not saying, don't you twist my words and say that I heard Brother Ricky say that Jesus is coming back in this year. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to tell you is, guys, we don't know the hour. We don't know the day. The Bible says that Jesus neither knows the hour nor the day, not even the angels of in heaven, but only the Father which is in heaven. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. We can't know the hour nor the day, but we can know the times and we can know the season. And we can understand these things when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when we're in the Word, when we're in prayer, when we're in intercession, when we're in intimacy. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there was Simeons and there was Annas. There was Annas and Simeons then. There's Simeons and there's Annas today in the church today. Come on. And I'm going to tell you, and they are still prophesying, they're still believing, they're still contending, they're still praying, they're still watching. And I believe just as there was a remnant alive at the first appearance of the Messiah, there's going to be a remnant alive at the second appearance of the Messiah. Golly. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody give the Lord a thanksgiving. Come on, something here today. So I'm telling you, man, that when I read that, and the first time I ever saw that, that stirred me up. And I was like, wow, how amazing is that, guys? That even, guys, the Lord can use anybody who's willing, who has an ear to God. He can use a country boy. He can use a city boy. He can use an educated man. He can use an uneducated man. He can use a fisherman. He can use a preacher. He can use a man. He can use a woman. He can use a boy. He can use a girl. He can use those who've been tainted, those who've been rejected. He can use those in the church. He can use those out of the church. Come on, somebody. He can use whoever he wills. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the entire earth, looking and searching for someone he can show himself strong through, whose heart is turned towards him. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So, guys, I hope you've enjoyed it. Listen, tag somebody, share this with somebody that you believe will be blessed by this, stirred up, encouraged, edified by this message. Please tag them or invite them to this. When this is up on YouTube and you guys are seeing this, please share the URL or the link to that so other people can glean from this and be blessed by this message. Again, guys, you can find us, our ministries, you can find us at endtimeheadlines.org. Or you can find us at remnantrevival.org. You can find either one of these. Okay. You guys are watching by Facebook Live. Jessica, our admin, is putting the link to our main website address. It's going to be there. It's also in the description under follow us. It's going to be there as well. So that you guys can subscribe to notifications, to email notifications, to push notifications. You'd be notified of when our, when we release devotionals, when we release, words, prophetic, updates, or a word that we shared during the week, or any kind of news and headlines from a prophetic perspective on our main, our end time headline site, which all that stuff is there for you to be blessed with and encouraged, guys. And as always, we want to encourage you guys, if you've not yet supported this ministry through partnership, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, it edifies you, it informs you, it feeds you, it blesses you, please be supportive of this ministry. Be in prayer. Ask the Lord what he would have you to do. And as you give into this ministry, remember the word of the Lord says, when you give, it should be given back unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that we give, it should be given back unto us. So we appreciate your prayers and your support, and your partnership to this ministry, as well. So real quick, guys, two announcements. Number one, we're going to be back on here tomorrow about, we're going to get on here at 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And we've got a special guest, Ryan Johnson of Ryan Johnson Ministries. He's going to be on here. He's going to share his heart about a particular topic that I think needs to be addressed. And we're going to kind of just go back and forth on that. So you don't want to miss that tomorrow. You'll be notified with end time headlines, but we're going to put it up on, these other locations as well. So you'll see this being live on Remnant Revival as well. And, but your notifications will be sent out on End Time Headlines Facebook page. I will record this and put it on YouTube as well. So you guys on YouTube that don't follow us on Facebook or don't have a Facebook account can watch this, exchange as well. So it's going to be a great time together that we're going to just kind of glean from one another, share some stuff. I'm going to let him share his heart, and I believe you'll be blessed by this as well. And just less than 2 weeks as well, guys, we're going to be back in Cordon, Indiana. We're going to be ministering at God's Church, and that's at 3191 Old Highway 135 Northeast Cordon, Indiana. We're going to be there with Pastor Tim and his congregation. And I got a word yesterday, guys. There's another church that is, their whole church is going to come out and support this. I was like, wow. So I'm very honored and blessed to hear those who are going to be able to join us for this great time of the fellowship and the word. And I believe the presence of God. I'm going to really be believing that God's going to touch some folks in that service. So if you're within reasonable driving distance of Cordon, Indiana, and you'd like to be a part of this gathering, please come out and be a part of this. And this is on Sunday morning, March 17th. Again, that's Sunday morning, March 17th, and that's 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. So this is a Sunday morning service that we're going to be there at on the 17th of March. So we love you guys. God bless you. Again, we're going to sign off for today, but we will be back on here. I'll be back on here with Ryan tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So God bless you guys. May the Lord bless you. May his countenance shine upon you, and may his favor be with you throughout the day. And we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.